who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is right around the corner, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks.
When it comes to Detroit and the draft, Move the Sticks is the podcast that will answer all of your questions. Who should you put in your mock draft? Don't worry, tune in and you'll be ready to watch the draft like a scout.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Listen to The Passage now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio.
This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
Painful imbecility of Alex Jones and his nitwit lawyer may have inadvertently blown the January 6th investigation wide open. The phrase, the Jones phone, may soon become shorthand for the greatest presidential scandal in American history. It is as dramatic and moronic a blunder as Richard Nixon recording himself for posterity and then forgetting that the recording would include him doing Watergate obstruction of justice kind of stuff. It's like the talent-headed Decca turning down the Beatles and Hendrix, like Austrian Archduke Ferdinand's chauffeur getting lost in Sarajevo on June 28, 1914, and winding up parking right in front of the guy who was trying to assassinate the Archduke, thereby touching off World War I. It is beyond belief. You've probably already heard of what even Jones himself called the Perry Mason moment at his Sandy Hook civil trial yesterday. That's the key here. But the Sandy Hook part, bad as it is, may prove to be just a footnote now. The lawyer for the parents suing Mr. Bottomless Delusion for $150 million for defamation had Jones on the stand, reminded Jones that he had claimed under oath there were no text messages to anybody about Sandy Hook on his phone. And then the lawyer revealed that Jones's nitwit lawyer not only accidentally sent a digital copy of everything on Jones's phone to the Sandy Hook lawyer, but that Jones's lawyer then failed to take the necessary steps to correct his mistake and get the court to declare the digital copy of the phone privileged, unusable. Jones, of course, is screwed. There are Sandy Hook texts on the phone. He testified under oath that there were none. He could now face perjury charges. But late yesterday, Rolling Stone reported that at virtually the same moment, this revelation appeared on the live stream from the courtroom in Austin, Texas. Alarms and foghorns sounded at the House January 6th committee, and 100 light bulbs lit up over 100 committee staffers, and fireworks symbolically exploded over all of Washington. Wait, what? There's a copy of all the text messages from the last 3 years on Alex Jones's phone, and legally it's fair game. Alex Jones? That's Alex Jones's name. Alex Jones? Alex Jones? Alex Jones, who was in Washington riling up the thugs on January 5th and leading them to the Capitol on January 6th? Alex Jones, who mainlines back to Roger Stone? Alex Jones, who has been prostituting himself for Donald Trump since at least 2015, all his texts since 2019 are now available to lawyers without a prescription? The message from the January 6th committee to the Sandy Hook victims' attorney, Mark Bankston, Rolling Stone reports, boils down to this.
The texts, can you give them to us?
Now, we have heard since the middle of Trump's 2016 campaign that a decisive smoking gun was in sight just around the corner, about WikiLeaks, about Russia, about Ukraine, about firing Comey, about the coup, about the fake electors, about everything. So caution is advised. But the possibilities here are actually, and let's stay in January 6th mode and call them wilder. The possibilities are wilder than some kind of smoking gun proving, who knows, Stone's complicity or Jones's stupidity. If Jones could perjure himself and deny there were Sandy Hook texts on a phone that has proven to be full of Sandy Hook texts, if Jones could hire a lawyer stupid enough to email those texts to the people suing Jones and to also not use the window that the legal system gives you to correct such mistakes, why could there not be evidence of direct or indirect contact on Jones's phone between Jones and Trump, in which they plan the luring of the fascists and the psychos to Washington on January 6th. All you need is conclusive evidence of the planning, and you have a conspiracy, and you have co-conspirators, and you have the means to put Alex Jones in prison for 1-6, and Roger Stone in prison for 1-6, and Donald Trump in prison for 1-6. Remember the timeline. On December 18th, 2020, Trump hosted the unhinged and the unwashed at the White House. Michael Flynn, Sidney Powell, Rudy Giuliani, the crazy businessman guy, not Lindell, the other one, the Overstock.com guy. Around midnight on the 18th, 19th, Sidney Powell thought she had been made a special prosecutor to prove that Trump really won the election. At 1:42 a.m. on the 19th, Trump tweeted, "Statistically impossible to have lost the 2020 election. Big protest in D.C. on January 6th. Be there, will be wild." On the afternoon of the 19th, hours later, Alex Jones went on his show, on radio, on streaming video, and told the nutjobs that the Trump tweet that January 6th, quote, "is the most important call to action on domestic soil since Paul Revere and his ride in 1776. Then on January 3rd, per the House committee, Jones was initially told by the White House, quote, "to lead a march to the Capitol where President Trump would meet," unquote, "the mob." On the night of January 5th, Alex Jones was at the Willard Hotel in Washington, where the so-called Trump war rooms were. Jones is already linked to Stuart Rhodes, that Oath Keepers guy with the eye patch, the bozo who was firearm safety instructor and then dropped a firearm and shot his own eye out with it. Jones is also already linked to Joseph Biggs, not only a leader of the Proud Boys, but actually a former employee of Checks Notes, Alex Jones. And on January 6th, the next day, when Trump's team needed at least $650,000 just to underwrite the costs of the Bund rally at the Ellipse, at which he threatened Mike Pence, whipped up the crowd, and according to committee testimony, wanted the magnetometers turned off so his little Trump people carrying weapons could get through and thus get to the Capitol with arms, when Trump's coup was short of cash, who got the 650 grand from a supermarket heiress? Alex Jones. On January 6th, $200,000 of that money actually went into the account of Alex Jones. You find one text on that phone which says Trump told Jones to do any of that, or Trump knew Jones was going to do any of that. The broadcasts, showing up in D.C., finding the money, setting up the violence. You find one text and it's a conspiracy, and you can put the popcorn in the microwave for perp walk week. The conspiracy to send armed people to the Capitol to threaten or interfere or attack or kill during the peaceful transfer of power has been missing only the direct links to Trump to send him to hell. Alex Jones's phone, the Jones phone, could be full of direct links. And barring the most bizarre of legal interventions, the January 6th committee is going to get that phone. Notably, the Sandy Hook lawyer did not name, which Jones' lawyer made this all-time eternal bonehead mistake, but Jones's lead mouthpiece, the same one who gave the finger to the Sandy Hook lawyer the other day, is named F. Endino Reynal. And we may one day build a statue to F. Endino Reynal. May I call you F? What does the F stand for, Endino? F up? We may build a statue to him or whichever Jones lawyer so thoroughly screwed this up, and that statue could go up next to the one showing Nixon ordering the installation of the White House taping system and next to the one showing the White House burglars putting duct tape over the door locks at the Watergate complex so that the night watchman, Frank Wills, would notice and call the cops. And they'd be between the statues of Dick Rowe from Decca Records turning down the Beatles and Hendrix and Leopold Loika, who was Archduke Ferdinand's chauffeur in 1914, and then had to look for other work. That's how stupid a mistake this could be. Thank you, F. Endino Reynal. Thank you, Alex freaking Jones. And hey, you two, text me sometime. Still ahead on Countdown, there seems to have been a slight change on the big old political map after the people of Kansas came out and crushed a bill to take away abortion rights in what the anti-choice crowd just assumed was going to be a pro-slave state. In sports, more on the passing of Vin Scully, the hitchhiker? And worse persons, who in God's name would defend Alex Jones after the kind of day Alex Jones had on Wednesday? Oh, you already guessed? Yeah, that's right. Bowling ball head himself, Joe Rogan. That's next. This is Countdown.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
Wow, the Chiefs did it. They went back to back.
The end of another season, and now for some time away from the studio.
Oh, Mark, we're not done. Now the fun starts. It's the offseason.
The combine.
Guys running really fast. You bet we're covering
it. Free agency.
Old faces and new places. Of course we'll talk about
it. Got the draft.
The next generation of stars. It's a must.
I'll just set up a sleeping bag in the studio.
That's right. There's no better way to stay up to date on the latest from our league than listening to Around the NFL. We'll break down all the moves and free agency and make sure you're ready for the start of next next season.
I'll be here. So you should listen to every word we say about everything we see.
That's right, Mark.
Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL draft is coming up, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. Do you want to watch the game like a fan or have the mind of a scout? The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before.
If you want to learn everything about this year's prospects ahead of the draft and learn what makes them stand out, there's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. Who are the top five draft prospects at each position? Which quarterbacks are going in the first round? Who are the top 50 prospects in the draft? Who should you put in your mock draft? We have all the answers for you.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with in-the-moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Just ahead, nothing, just a Republican saying out loud that he wants to make paying into Medicare and Social Security mandatory, but make withdrawing from it optional. Plus a couple more Vin Scully stories. First, in each edition of Countdown, we feature a dog in need whom you can help. Every dog has its day. First, some good news. Hard to establish cause and effect here, but the dog we mentioned yesterday at the New York City Pound, Akira, she was rescued yesterday. Amen. Today, another girl facing death in New York. Dory is 49 pounds, gorgeous, white belly and chest, brown back, brown head, and a face that looks like a bear. She's a living miniature bear. She was spoiled. She needs some training, but she's on death row because she didn't like one of her human's family members, so they dumped her in the kill pound, and she is terrified. You can see Dory and all our subjects at my Twitter account for Pups in Trouble. That's at Tom Jumbo Grumbo. If you want, you can pledge to help a rescue pull her out in time. If she survives, we will follow up for you. Look for Dory at Tom Jumbo Grumbo on Twitter. Thank you. Coming up on Countdown, Keith talks about Keith again. Actually, Keith talks about Keith and Rachel and the day MSNBC fired Rachel. Plus sports and worst persons, but first, postscripts to the news. Some headlines, some thoughts, some snark. Dateline, the Trump lunatic asylum. Just when you thought you knew how out of his tree fake electors planner John Eastman was, the New York Times reported last night that on January 20th, 2021, see if you remember what happened on that date, these two things happened in this sequence. A, Joe Biden was inaugurated as the 46th president of the United States. B, this Eastman whackdoodle emailed Rudy Giuliani and others and said they should challenge the outcome of the two Senate races in Georgia because that way they could find the election fraud that they did not find in the Georgia presidential balloting. You know, it occurs to me the only verified fraud here was in whatever psychiatrist gave John Eastman a clean bill of health. Dateline Topeka. Turns out the Republicans chasing Roe v. Wade all these years were the proverbial dogs who caught the car. presented with a brand new problem, what to do with it. They just assumed it would cement their likely victory in the midterms, especially when they managed to throw a state constitutional anti-abortion amendment onto a primary ballot in Kansas. Well, instead, voters turned out in droves at levels not seen usually except for presidential elections. They kicked the amendment's ass. Looks like it's going to be a final of 59-41 in Kansas to preserve abortion rights. 59% is the key number and the recurrent theme here. 59% was the haul that Trump got in Leavenworth County 2 years ago in Kansas. 59% against the amendment was how Leavenworth County voted on Tuesday. Panicked Republicans made up stories about being outspent by the pro-choice forces or about how their loss validated the Supreme Court's ruling and left it to the states. And blah, 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 blah. They also watched several prognostication sites switch the midterm Senate vote from Leans Republican or toss-up to Leans Democrat. Coincidentally, President Biden issued executive orders simplifying the process by which women can travel from one state to the other to get abortion access or related care, and by which they can get insurance coverage for it, too. Plus, if you missed it, Tuesday, the attorney general sued the state of Idaho, claiming its near total ban on abortion violated federal law. In Idaho, physicians and hospital staff facing incoming life or death cases of pregnant women in trouble have gotten on not their surgical gloves, but gotten on the phone with their own lawyers. The conversation is simple, and it is roughly thus: she's hemorrhaging. Just to stabilize her, we have to abort the fetus. What kind of prison time am I looking at? The attorney general says this may be only the first of several suits against several states. Dateline Madison, quiet part out loud again, courtesy Wisconsin Senator Ron My. That's one ugly Johnson. The guy with the perpetual blank stare says we should eliminate Medicare and Social Security as entitlement programs. Quoting him, if you qualify for the entitlement, you just get it, no matter what the cost. It's on automatic pilot. You just don't do proper oversight. You don't get in there and fix the programs going bankrupt. It's just on automatic pilot. In other words, you paid into Medicare and Social Security, but when you need to withdraw from it, why should you be able to withdraw from it? This is a Monty Python sketch come to life. The one where Eric Idle goes into his insurance agent's office and says he put in a claim after a car accident, and the agent, played by Michael Palin using a Cockney accent, says he wrote him a letter saying he was going to fill Idle's mouth full of cement. Palin now laughs and says, you see, you unfortunately picked our never pay policy, which, if you never claim, is very worthwhile. But you had to claim, and well, there it is. It states quite clearly that no claim you make will be paid. Medicare and Social Security, our never-pay policy. And Dateline Washington, D.C., Vladimir Putin just continues to win and win and win. The Senate has ratified admission to NATO for Finland and Sweden, neither of which had thought twice about it until Russia attacked Ukraine. Just as newsworthy, the vote was yes, 95, no, one guy. So the Democrats will emphasize in the election cycle that they got a bipartisan win, or they'll just let the Republicans say the Democrats deferred to them. And you know who the one no was? Josh Hawley. Just thrust your right fist back into the air again, Lord Ha-Ha. Just like January 6th, let Putin remember who his friend are.
This is SportsCenter. Wait, check that. Not anymore. This is Countdown with Keith Olbermann.
From the world of wide sports, because they didn't do enough damage to themselves by leaving the PGA Tour to go take the Saudi blood money of the LIV Tour with its trophies that look like shards of the World Trade Center on 9/11, 11 of the LIV golfers have now sued the PGA. They contend their suspensions from the PGA Tour for having jumped to a rival business constitutes some kind of antitrust violation. Two of those in the suit are Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau, who can at least take solace in the realization that the lawsuit can't make them any more unpopular than they already are. Disaster from college basketball. UConn basketball star guard Paige Beckers, the player of the year as a freshman, coming back from a left knee injury as a sophomore, was playing a pickup game and threw a cruciate. Torn ACL, same knee, the left one. She's out for her junior year. Baseball. Thank you, Nancy Faust. What's the score, boys? What did Bugs Bunny do? What's with the Carrot League baseball today? The debut of Juan Soto in San Diego last night. In his first at-bat since the mega trade from Washington, Soto walked. Four batters later, a player the Padres obtained in a far less heralded deal at the deadline, Brandon Drury from Cincinnati, their new designated hitter, made his debut for the Padres and hit a grand slam. And to follow up on the passing of the great Vin Scully, yesterday I told my stories of the privilege I had of 34 years of friendship with the great broadcaster. Now a couple of stories from others. Elliot Kalb, the ace researcher with whom I worked at NBC Sports on NFL games and at the World Series and playoffs and All-Star game, he reminded me of the broken down limo story. Vin did the play-by-play of the NBC Baseball Game of the Week at Wrigley Field in Chicago on Saturday, September 23, 1989. He was due back in Los Angeles to do the broadcast for the Dodgers on Sunday, the 24th, of the Dodgers game against San Diego. In his deal with NBC, Vin had transportation built in. So he had a limo to take him to O'Hare Airport in Chicago from Wrigley Field. Unsurprisingly, he offered lifts to anybody else trying to make a flight out of town on a busy Saturday afternoon. Among those who took him up on it, Elliot Kalb, researcher on the ball game. And on the highway out to the airport, the limo broke down. There are prominent sportscasters with whom I have worked and will not name who would have sat there in the broken-down car and steamed and sworn and missed the flight and demanded a private jet be obtained. And then there was Vin Scully. He got out, got his luggage out of the trunk of the limo, stuck out his thumb, and hitchhiked. And Elliot Kalb got pictures of Vin Scully hitchhiking on the highway to O'Hare. A cab eventually came. And then there was the story about Vin that dated nearly half a century before that one. During World War II, he was a student at Fordham Prep School in the Bronx, near where I was born, and at age 15, 14, 16, 17, one of his friends there was a classmate named Larry. Vin and Larry were in the back of the auditorium at Fordham Prep talking, and Vin said, "Larry, when we get out of here, what do you want to do?" And Larry said, "I'd love to be a big league ball player." And his friend Vinny noted that Larry, of course, was the best athlete in the school, but still said, "I wonder what those odds are. And you know, I'd like to be a big league broadcaster. I wonder what those odds are." And then the teenaged Vin Scully allowed himself to dream further still. "How about this one for a long shot?" he said to his friend Larry. "How about you play, I broadcast, and you hit a home run? The odds? No one would be able to calculate that." 8 or 9 years later, on May 13, 1952, Vin Scully was broadcasting a game between his Brooklyn Dodgers and the St. Louis Cardinals at Ebbets Field in Brooklyn. The Dodgers led 6-2 in the fourth inning when a Cardinals rookie, playing in just his seventh major league game, homered to deep left field, his first big league home run. He only hit two. In the broadcast booth, Vin Scully said he could only croak out the words, "Home run!" And then he had to fight back the tears and the lump in his throat because the rookie who hit the home run that Scully called in that game in 1952 was his friend from high school, Larry Miggins. And lastly, an etymology discovery courtesy of Kelly Brouse. The Irish name Scully derives from the ancient title Oscalhedy, meaning storyteller to the king. Still ahead, things I promised not to tell before we hired Rachel Maddow. MSNBC actually fired Rachel Maddow. The anniversary is nigh. First, the daily roundup of the miscreants, morons, and Dunning-Kruger effect specimens who constitute today's worst persons in the world. The bronze, Georgia Republican candidate and malaprop machine Herschel Walker. After avoiding it as long as he could, he has committed to a debate on October 14th against the incumbent, Senator Raphael Warnock. Says Walker, I want people to see the difference. I'm unclear about Walker's strategy for the debate. My free advice, stay silent, just hold up cards with emojis on them. The silver to Ryan Kelly. You may remember him. He was the guy running for the Republican nomination for governor of Michigan. His campaign basically consisted of being a Trump liar and particularly holding up a photo of himself taken at the Capitol on January 6th, showing him carrying a barricade bearing the sign Property of U.S. Capitol Police. The Michigan primary was Tuesday night. Like Trump, Kelly did not win. He lost. And like Trump, Kelly is refusing to concede. Unlike Trump, however, Ryan Kelly finished fourth. The winner, Tudor Dixon, got more than 434,000 votes. Kelly, he got 44,000 votes. But he says he really won, and he's the victim of a massive conspiracy. He's the victim of a bad education. That's what he's the victim of. Ryan Kelly, 1/10 of the winner's vote and 1/100 of the brains. But our winner, old bowling ball head himself, Joe Rogan. Guess who he defended on his show? Alex Jones, in the middle of the Sandy Hook defamation lawsuit. There's entertainment value to what Rogan does, like claims Sandy Hook never happened and the dead were just child actors posing. What is he doing that's so awful? It's entertaining. How about the death threats that the Sandy Hook parents got because of what Alex Jones said? The claims that they should die because they were part of some conspiracy. Nah, it doesn't matter. Joe Rogan says, it's entertaining. Well, that's more than can be said for your show, Smiley. Joe, what is he doing that's so awful? Rogan, today's worst person in the world!
Be selected number one. Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
It's draft season. The 2024 NFL Draft is coming up, and the Move the Sticks podcast has you covered for all your draft needs. Do you want to watch the game like a fan or have the mind of a scout? The show's hosted by me, Daniel Jeremiah, and my partner, Bucky Brooks. The two of us bring knowledge from careers as NFL talent scouts to the podcast world so fans can watch and understand the nuances of the game like never before.
If you want to learn everything about this year's prospects ahead of the draft and learn what makes them stand out, there's no better podcast than Move the Sticks. Who are the top five draft prospects at each position? Which quarterbacks are going in the first round? Who are the top 50 prospects in the draft? Who should you put in your mock draft? We have all the answers for you.
We've been studying these prospects all season, so you won't get a better opinion. We'll have several new episodes dropping each week, and you don't want to miss a single one. Subscribe now and listen to the Move the Sticks podcast on the iHeartRadio app, on Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow, the Chiefs did it. They went back to back.
The end of another season, and now for some time away from the studio.
Oh, Mark, we're not done. Now the fun starts. It's the offseason.
The combine.
Guys running really fast. You bet we're covering
it. Free agency.
Old faces and new places. Of course we'll talk about
it. Got the draft.
The next generation of stars. It's a must.
I'll just set up a sleeping bag in the studio.
That's right. There's no better way to stay up to date on the latest from our league than listening to Around the NFL. We'll break down all the moves in free agency and make sure you're ready for the start of next season.
I'll be here, so you should listen to every word we say about everything we see.
That's right, Mark.
Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.
Hey, it's Andy, Mike, and Jason of the Fantasy Footballers podcast here, and we're inviting you to join us live on NFL Plus following the first round of the NFL draft. Look, fantasy football, let's be honest, gentlemen, it kind of rules the world.
That's right, and we will be live with In the Moment fantasy football reactions to all the first-round selections and all the crazy surprises. We never can predict what's going to happen on that first day of the NFL draft.
Lots of elite talent at the skill positions that will have a big impact on fantasy football this year. Are we going to get three wide receivers in the top 10? Are we going to break the record for the most wide receivers in the first round? Is there going to be a running back? I don't know.
And there's a lot of teams like the Chiefs, the Bills. We're really excited about their quarterback. Do they add a wide receiver? What are some of those best landing spots?
The Fantasy Footballers Draft Special will air exclusively on NFL Plus on Thursday, April 25th, following the conclusion of the first round of the draft. Go to plus.nfl.com to sign up today. Terms and conditions apply.
Finally, our number one story on the countdown, things I promised not to tell, and back to my favorite topic, me. Well, actually not just me this time. This is an important anniversary for an important TV news show, and I don't mean one of mine. August 3rd, 2007 was, near as I can calculate, the day I first met Rachel Maddow. So August 4th, 2007, 15 years ago, was when I started to push MSNBC to make her a host, specifically the guest host for my show, with an eye towards eventually getting her to host her own show, which would follow mine, which happened almost immediately, just 13 months later. On the other hand, 2 years earlier than that first meeting, August 8th, 2005, was the day MSNBC had cleverly fired Rachel Maddow. Early in 2007, before MSNBC moved to 30 Rockefeller Center in New York from the charms of the row of factory outlet discount stores in which it had been nestled in Secaucus, New Jersey since its inception, my executive producer, Izzy Povich, had walked into my office and asked me if I remembered Rachel Maddow. Of course, isn't she on Carlson's I stopped myself. She had been a regular panelist on Tucker Carlson's last non-Nazi TV program, which incongruously aired right after mine at 9 o'clock on MSNBC. Rick Kaplan, then the ex-president of CNN and shortly to be ex-president of MSNBC, had first foisted this repulsive scumbag on us and then asked me to play his liberal foil in all the Carlson pilot shows, which Kaplan then demanded. One night it dawned on Kaplan that if he made me Carlson's co-host, he could use our initials and title the show TKO. And as he pitched me the idea, he could not have been happier nor more surprised if he had invented the alphabet himself. When I pointed out to Rick Kaplan that I already had a show and it already took me all goddamn day to do it, and I had no desire to add 3 hours to my schedule nor to ever work with Tucker Carlson, he had the new show's producer, Bill Wolf, search around for other potential liberal foils. Wolf found two, our old sports colleague, Max Kellerman, and this Air America radio host, Rachel Maddow. Only as Izzy asked me that day if I remembered her did I realize that I had not seen Rachel Maddow in our studios recently in New Jersey. Oh, it's well over a year, she explained. When Tucker's show started to die and they trimmed salary, they had to cut back to just one liberal. They kept Max Kellerman. I found that astonishing, even though I had only met Rachel maybe three times in passing, once at Air America's launch party, and we'd interacted superficially for maybe, I don't know, a minute in total. They kept Kellerman over her? Who kept Kellerman? I like Max, but who would keep Kellerman? Izzy Povich was not sure. We both guessed it was Phil Griffin who was basically running the place. Anyway, somebody suggested she would make a good guest on almost anything political, and I interrupted Izzy. God, yes, tonight. Izzy laughed and said, I'll go book her. Any segment in particular? And I said we should adhere to our usual high and discerning standards. One of the segments we haven't booked a guest for yet will do. Rachel, of course, was erudite, succinct, knowledgeable, compelling, self-deprecating, and she wasn't another guy. We began to book her to talk about pretty much almost anything every week. Soon it became twice a week. She also had fun on TV without overdoing it. The in-house phrase was, she plays. and she played despite the fact that we were always in different studios. We would either throw her into a one-camera room called The Nook, literally converted from a third-floor broom closet at 30 Rock, or we would rent some time at an all-networks live-shot assembly line studio called Media 3, which was a few blocks further downtown. I would remain on the ever-increasingly antiquated Lazy Susan set at MSNBC in Jersey. And as these appearances started, this was when the love letters to her and to us began to show up on the website The Daily Kos. As the ratings rose that spring and MSNBC's move to New York in October loomed, Phil Griffin had offered me a perk. As long as the viewership totals held, he said I could skip the weary commute to Secaucus on Fridays, I could write the show in my apartment on Central Park South, I could have an early dinner with my cohabitant, Katie Turr, actually in our home, I could walk over to 30 Rock at 7 p.m. and do Countdown from that aforementioned nook. This was balm for my soul. Until word came down from the office of the director of news for NBC that for some arcane reason, the Nook had to be rebuilt, and it would be out of commission for like 2 months. To his credit, Phil Griffin now ponied up. His offer of Jersey Free Friday continued, and he was willing to rent me one of those studios at Media 3, and I could anchor the show from there. Thus did it happen that as I breezed in for the second week in a row to Media 3 at 7:30 on Friday, August 3rd, 2007, and made my way to the makeup room, our now go-to Countdown guest, Rachel Maddow, was already sitting in the chair. As mentioned previously, we had met before in passing. We had not met since she had become a regular. She rose instantly and unnecessarily, and as she did and we exchanged pleasantries, I noticed she had one sheet of paper in her hand. It had clearly been computer printed. There was a line or two of text at the top of the page, then about half a sheet's worth of words written by hand. And then there was a second line of computer printed text and another half sheet of longhand. And the back of the paper had the same format. I can read upside down. I mean, I can read a paper or a book when the paper or book is upside down. It's one of my few parlor tricks. It took only a few seconds for me to realize that the computer-printed lines of text were the questions I had composed for Rachel's segment that night. Then, in her excellent penmanship, were the answers to those questions. It looked for all the world like a high school or college short essay exam page. Four short questions and four half-page answers. My astonishment was completely organic. What's that? Rachel was embarrassed. She hid the sheet behind her back. I just do some prep for the show. It's my prep sheet. I don't read from it on the air or anything, but I like to write everything down longhand because it helps me organize my thoughts, and I like to have it in front of me in the studio in case... I interrupted her now and said, in case you freeze or you get interrupted or distracted by the idiot host. I pulled from my pocket four folded up pages of my own on which I had printed handwritten notes for each of the scheduled interviews. I said, I find it's writing it by hand that really helps here. I think it's some sort of memory trick. Her gasp of astonishment turned into a warm laugh. She and I used the same TV shortcut without knowing it. Now something else popped into my head. I said, you do realize you are more prepared for your four-minute segment than I am for the entire damn show, right? She laughed again and I waved my folded crib notes. You do realize that nobody does this except you and me? It's lack of confidence meets paranoia meets fear that you'll forget your good lines. I squinted at her as the thought came to me. Have you ever thought of hosting one of these shows? Rachel suddenly drew her head back as if evading a right cross. What? No, I couldn't. I said, we haven't had a good guest host in a long time. The makeup artist moved to attempt to straighten up my hair. You want to give it a try? She seemed to go a little pale. No, I don't think so. Really? No, but I don't. How difficult could it be if I stepped in here with no experience and suddenly I had the most popular liberal news show? Pick up two? How good are you? I'm Tom.
3-2-1. How difficult could it be if I stepped in here with no experience and suddenly I had the most popular liberal news show? And then I did it again 8 years later. She looked unconvinced. I mean, you already do the prep. What worries you? She looked away from me and mumbled. Prompter. I laughed. Did you say prompter? The prompter. The teleprompter. She looked away again. I don't think I could use it. I'm sorry, I said with mock anger. Have you padded your resume? Didn't you get one of them Rhodes scholarshipy things and you go over to England to study stuff and you think you can't learn how to use a teleprompter? For God's sake, I learned to use a teleprompter in 10 minutes from Stuart effing Varney at CNN. There's nothing to it but practice. Rachel was not convinced. I said, get made up, come into the studio, sit with me off camera. I'm just sitting in there reading the show off the teleprompter. Watch, you'll see. And let me ask you this. If you knew how to use the teleprompter, if you already knew, would you want to try hosting? Her eyes got a little smaller and she seemed nervous. And very quietly, Rachel Maddow said, yes. We would travel a million bureaucratic miles and a year together before we actually sat down for prompter school. After one of her guest hits on a Monday edition of Countdown, she and I, and to their credit, Countdown's technical director, Brian Nailsnick, and much of the crew, stayed for an extra half an hour. We put two cameras and two monitors almost next to each other so she could read the prompter along with me, or watch the other monitor to see where my eyes were as I read from the prompter. And then after a while, we fixed it so I could read along with her or watch the other monitor to see where her eyes were as she read. We read my scripts. We read scripts that she had written. I gave her the Tom Snyder prompter trick. Okay, here's the Tom Snyder prompter trick. Try to see and read entire sentences, not individual words. Focus your eyes not on the pane of plastic where the words are projected, but focus several inches beyond it where the lens actually is in the camera. I told her, tonight, this is your freshman year. Tomorrow will be sophomore. Wednesday's junior. Thursday's senior. Friday's graduation. And also the homecoming football game and grad school and the Alumni Association will be hitting you up for your money on Saturday. Rachel Maddow came in every night that week to practice overcoming her biggest fear, the teleprompter. I stayed late, again, on Friday. What do you think? Rachel asked me. Who cares? I answered. What do you think? She straightened her practice script by tapping it against the anchor desk, like an anchor does, and said, I think this is the greatest invention in the history of mankind. I've done all the damage I can do here. The Countdown theme from Beethoven's Ninth, arranged, produced, and performed by Countdown musical directors Brian Ray and John Philip Chanel. All orchestration and keyboards by John Philip Chanel. Guitars, bass, and drums by Brian Ray. Produced by TKO Brothers. Beethoven selections like this one, performed by No Horns Allowed. Our sports music, the Olbermann theme, always cracks me up, written by Mitch Warren Davis, courtesy of ESPN, Inc. Musical comments by Nancy Faust, the best baseball stadium organist ever. Our announcer today was the fabulous Stevie Van Zandt. Everything else is my fault. If you've listened this far, you'll be pleased as I was to discover we have cracked the top overall 40 on the Apple Podcast chart, number 2 in politics. Thanks for your reviews, your rates, and your subscriptions. That's Countdown for this, the 575th day since Donald Trump's attempted coup against the United States. I'm Keith Olbermann. Good morning, good afternoon, good night, and good luck. Countdown with Keith Olbermann is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
America, we are endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. At Grand Canyon University, we believe in equal opportunity, and the American dream starts with purpose. By honoring your career calling,
you impact your family, your friends, and your community. The pursuit to serve others is yours. Find your purpose at Grand Canyon University. Private, Christian, affordable. Visit gcu.edu.
Who will be selected number one? Which teams will trade up and down? And who will be crowned Mr. Irrelevant? It's time for the 2024 NFL Draft. And iHeart is your home for the NFL Podcast Network. Get all the insights, mock drafts, and trade rumors with podcasts like Around the NFL and Move the Sticks. Open the free iHeart app and search NFL Draft for dozens of podcasts, playlists, and live stations to get you ready for the weekend's big event.
Let's go!
Listen to NFL Podcasts on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search NFL to start listening.
I am the ferryman.
In the shadows of the afterlife, the ferryman of souls guides America's most influential spirits to their eternal rest.
Where are you taking me?
Are you death?
This road is not on any map.
How much for a ticket?
All I ask for in payment is a tale.
I don't know who got to Kennedy first.
And the devastation those first bombs caused.
I've never been to hell, but I know intimately the hymns of the damned.
Listen to The Passage now on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
The Lombardi may have been lifted, but that doesn't mean there's no football to talk about. It's the offseason, and there's no better way to stay up to date with the latest from our league than with the Around the NFL podcast. Join me, Dan Hensis, and my buds, Mark Sessler and Greg Rosenthal, for news and fresh content all offseason long. From the start of free agency, where we'll break down familiar faces headed to new places, to the next generation of superstars walking across that stage at the NFL draft, we have you covered. Listen to the Around the NFL podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. Heed the call.